Working Remotely with Disabilities. I'm David Brancaccio. There are more than 60 million Americans living with disabilities, and for years, many have been calling for more flexible work arrangements. As employers grapple with returning to the office as pandemic evolves, some are hoping employers learn from this working-from-home stretch, Marketplace's Stephanie Hughes reports.
Before the pandemic, Brittany Wilson's daily commute from Brooklyn to Manhattan took her 2 hours. She has cerebral palsy. She uses arm crutches and a motorized scooter to get around. And she has to specially arrange to take a paratransit bus. Just this week, she did the commute again for the first time in nearly 2 years. And it felt
annoying, for lack of a better word. I'm just like, oh, okay, back to this again. Here we go again.
Wilson is director of the Civil Rights and Disability Justice Clinic at New York Law School. She says there are definite benefits to teaching in person. And as employers rethink their offices, they should also take the opportunity to make them accessible, like New York Law School did when it added buttons to open all its doors.
So that I can get in and out of the restroom, in and out of offices. The classroom that I teach in has a heavy door, you know, things like that.
The technology companies have adopted to enable remote work has also benefited many people with disabilities. Mowena Doss is the chief of staff at the nonprofit National Organization on Disability. She's deaf, and prior to the pandemic, if she was in a meeting, a stenographer also joined to transcribe what people were saying. That took some planning. Now, Doss uses automatic captioning in Zoom, so she can jump on calls at the last minute.
So it's been really incredibly liberating to be able to be in any context and say, yep, I can hop right in.
Virtual interactions can make disabilities less visible in the workplace. Maria Towne is the president and CEO of the American Association of People with Disabilities. She also has cerebral palsy.
What's interesting is that during the pandemic, because people only see me from, like, you know, the bust up, I have to be more explicit about my disability in different ways than I would in an in-person environment.
Towne says, given everything we've learned during the pandemic, employers have a great opportunity to hire more disabled workers. Only about a third of working-age Americans with disabilities have jobs. In New York, I'm Stephanie Hughes for Marketplace.
I'd really like to hear from you. Yes, I'm trying to make eye contact with you. Are you now being waved back into your office? What are your considerations? And managers and bosses, we'd also like to hear your stories as you wrestle with switching teams back onto company property. Email us using morningreport@marketplace.org. Okay. With the disclaimer that economic growth is not a proxy for well-being, there is a slight upward revision today in gross domestic product for the spring. Annualized growth rate is now put at 6.7%. Diane Swonk is the chief economist at the tax and advisory firm Grant Thornton.
What was interesting was, you know, what we worry about in the inflation side of it was that inventories were revised down yet again, which we saw yesterday with the data on durable goods. And this is one of the reasons the supply chain bottlenecks are one of the reasons we're suffering some of the inflation we're suffering. And the key issue for the Fed is, do disruptions to supply overwhelm disruptions to demand from Delta, which if that happens, we have a more persistent inflation, or do we start to see some demand disruptions that squelch some of the inflationary pressures and we get in 2022 an unwanted rebuild of those inventories. And that's the balance that Jay Powell is going to be trying to look at when he talks about the economic outlook and what it means for policy. And it's very uncertain.
The big conference of central bankers, normally in Wyoming, gets started today. Here's Marketplace's Nova Safo.
The conference at Jackson Hole, Wyoming, was supposed to be in person this year, but the Delta variant forced it online again.
The markets are going to be watching closely.
Karen Petru, managing partner at Federal Financial Analytics, says they'll be watching for
hints about tapering and what rates are going to be.
Tapering is Wall Street talk for the Fed reducing its bond purchases, totaling $120 billion a month, designed to lower long-term interest rates and support the economy. During their policy meeting last month, central bank officials discussed ending those purchases but stopped short of firming up a timetable. Economists and investors will be watching to see if Fed Chair Jerome Powell offers new clues on the subject when he addresses the gathering tomorrow morning. I'm Nova Safa for Marketplace.
Some big financial companies are hiking the pay of younger associates, something that's being enjoined and enjoyed by some junior lawyers as well, with younger hotshots being lured away by startups, bigger tech firms. Good for them, right? But experts worry about a much wider skills shortage in America, something the huge infrastructure bill recognizes. Marketplace's senior economics contributor Chris Farrell joins us. Hi, Chris.
Good morning, David.
All right, so the infrastructure bill will throw money at some things that need fixing, but we need the people to be able to do that, to plan and to build.
That's right. You know, David, there's been this long-term lack of investment in the training of young workers in what used to be called smokestack America. I mean, these are mostly blue-collar professions like construction, steel, cement, infrastructure. And demand for young talent in these industries was outstripping supply before the pandemic. But now the economy is snapping back and you have this infrastructure spending on the rise and the dearth of talent is really worrisome. And here's the thing that's most upsetting. There are good opportunities for employment, better pay, and advancement that aren't happening because of this lack of investment and lack of training.
And what about the government? I mean, they spend some on various training programs, but not a lot in the grand scheme of things?
So the government actually spends a fortune on people who go to college. I mean, that has become the main avenue for nurturing young talent. But, you know, the classroom and that kind of learning is only for some people. And there's a report from the Brookings Institution. Funding for public higher education, $385 billion, years 2017-2018. That compares to about $14 billion for employment services and training across 43 government programs. And that's just one measure, but there's another statistic in this report that I think captures what is our problem. The U.S. had roughly 238,000 new registered apprentices in 2018. However, if the U.S. had the same share of new apprentices per capita as the United Kingdom or Switzerland, that number would be 3 million. I mean, think about that.
So in essence, the U.S. needs more apprenticeship programs is what you might argue.
I would argue, and we're talking broadly defined. You know, the current boost in infrastructure spending creates an opportunity for these programs to embrace greater diversity in terms of the apprenticeship programs and in terms of working training. And we know that if you get more training and you get more skill, you're going to get higher wages and your career is going to advance.
Marketplace's senior economics contributor, Chris Farrell in St. Paul. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.